What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Sing me a song.
You just gotta let the song play because it's back! We are finally back, you guys, for the AfterBuzz Outlander After Show. This is the second part of season one. This is gonna be a little bit of a longer after show because we gotta cover episode 109 as well as episode 110, The Reckoning and By the Pricking of My Thumbs. I am your host, Keaton Markey. You can follow me on Twitter at Keaton Markey. And I have my lovely co-host here. You guys introduce yourselves because it's a little different panel this time.
Yes. Hi, I'm Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mary Lou Mandel. I'm excited to be here. I love this show.
Woo!
Hey, guys. I'm Ryan Hooks, and you can find me at RyanHooks92 on Twitter and Instagram. And also make sure you follow AfterBuzz TV on the internet and the YouTube and the stream and the cloud and everything. And subscribe to our channel.
We're everywhere.
Watch us.
Yes, be a part of the conversation, join the conversation, all of that fun stuff. But to keep this show a little bit shorter, can we just dive into the episode?
Please.
Let's talk about storming the castle. Jamie goes in, Jamie does what he does, Jamie saves Claire. But we start at the very same, I mean, this episode was really interesting because it was from Jamie's point of view. So it was very different, and there was a special little clip that was on stars.com, you guys should check it out, where Ron Moore talks about how they kind of mirrored the beginning of this episode to the very first episode with Claire's point of view. They used the same first line, and so yeah, it was very interesting kind of to get to dive back into these characters and this story, but from Jamie's point of view again, which we don't get in the books. So we see Jamie, we see what leads up to him actually storming the castle to save Claire. He's trying to kind of get help to, like, he's trying to pay this guy off,
yeah, Horrocks,
who can give him a name so that he can clear his name about who shot this British soldier. And Horrocks gives him the name of Black Jack Randall. And Jamie's like, that means nothing to
that
me.
That doesn't help me at all.
No one's going to
thank you for that worthless piece of information.
But the guy said, you know, all you wanted was a name. That's what this deal was. So pay up. And, you know, it's done. And as that whole transaction was happening, we see the messenger boy come and tell Jamie that Claire is been taken by the British soldiers. And
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And it was such a great cliffhanger last, the end of, I guess, yeah, it's the first part of the season where we had to wait like six
freaking
months. We all survived Droughtlander, but it was a very tough part of my life.
It was really, really challenging. And I was like, April? Is it April yet? It's April.
Are we there yet?
And now I'm like, oh my God, it's April. Like, time just flew by. But it was tough to be in the midst of Droughtlander. But we then get to that shot of Jamie kind of climbing into the castle and in the window. And that scene in the book played out exactly that way in the book. So I was so excited to kind of
I love when I see exactly what I pictured when I was reading in my imagination. I love when that's what I see, because that makes me feel like they're really kind of trying to do this for the fans, and I love that. So thank you, guys.
Well, thank you to get your hands off my wife.
Yes, yes. And Blackjack is just absolutely, he laughs. Because, you know, to him, Jamie, he has this past relationship with Jamie, and he had no idea that Claire was, you know, his wife. And so it just kind of, all these stars kind of aligned for Blackjack, and it was, mm-hmm. it was pretty hilarious to kind of see that reaction. But it also reminded us very quickly about how evil Blackjack Randall
is. He's a twisted dude. He's like, oh, your husband's here. He's going to watch. And he's like, we're going to do this anyway. You want to join in?
He's probably my favorite character in the show.
Oh, he's great. Tobias Menzies, like, he is awesome. We got to talk to him at the Paley Fest, and he was probably my favorite. I mean, I did get to take a selfie with Jamie Frazier. So, with Sam
Heughan. Are you okay?
And I still...
She was a little flushed.
You survived that?
I did. It took... I'm still... You know,
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
No, I can't think about it. I'm blushing right now because Sam Heughan.
There's a clip of her going, Sam Heughan. My God, I just took a selfie with Sam Heughan. And I was like, oh my God.
He touched my face. I didn't wash my face for too long, so sorry about that. I should probably clean my sheets. No, I'm kidding.
You sound like all the women on Twitter that I talk to about the episodes when they show sex scenes. That's exactly like what I'm getting from you right now, Keaton.
Oh my God.
They want to watch the episode where their wife goes to bed or their husbands go to bed.
Oh my God.
Oh,
hey, let's talk
God.
About something else.
I love Sam Heughan.
Hey, look, your shirt and my face match.
Yes, okay, stop. Anyways, Jamie ends up rescuing Claire, even though he goes in there with an unloaded pistol, which is kind of
gangster.
Like, the OG, Jamie Frazier.
He's like, what?
He's like,
what? We'll get you. Oh, wait.
What? Oh, wait, it's
I
not
didn't
loaded.
Have bullet. Whatever. Yeah.
Click.
But yes, he ends up rescuing Claire, and then it goes into this kind of huge the next kind of big pivotal scene, I feel like, in this episode is when we see this argument between Jamie and Claire when he's so angry, which he has every right to be as angry as he is for her leaving, and Claire's pissed at him for being mad at her for wandering off, even though she still was kind of fibbing. Like, she was like, oh, I just went on a walk, but you were trying to escape to the stone so you could go back to Frank.
Mm-hmm. Well, Willie's his name, right? The guy that was with him?
Yes.
Okay. So he was with him, and he, like, wandered off to go in the woods to go to the bathroom. So really, she could have theoretically been sitting there, and they could have kidnapped her in the same way.
I disagree. So are you team Claire in this argument? Because I'm absolutely team Jamie. Claire should not have wandered off.
Well, I mean, I get why she wandered off, and... I'm just saying that she could have equally been kidnapped anywhere. So if she was sitting with Willie and he was in the woods, you know, talking to the bears, if you will, then she easily could have.
What does that mean?
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Oh, okay.
I was just trying not to say it, but it's out there now. So she very easily could have been kidnapped by these people in the same way with just him there to protect her. So it doesn't matter that she wandered off. But
I think it does because... I think it...
She got close to the road where the soldiers were. They might not have been in the woods.
She was not in the road. She was in the middle, like, on this giant hill in the open with an area that she knew because when she was back in the 1940s with Frank, that this was a place that the British soldiers hung out.
Mm-hmm. Right, but there's a road there that they probably traveled. That's why they hang out there. They don't just wander off into the hill.
I know,
wagons.
That's why if she would have stayed where she was, they wouldn't have found her.
Oh, well, this was like one of her first chances to try and go home and like explore that option. So I was like, I don't know.
I know, girl, but I'm all in with Jamie right now. I'm like, why are you even trying to go back to Frank, Claire? I don't
just
get
listen.
It.
Jamie.
Hashtag Jamie Frazier.
Shirtless Jamie is what you think you're looking
for. I gotta stop talking about it because Sam Heughan just gets to me.
You're getting flushed.
I know, I am again. So they have this argument, and I was absolutely on Jamie's side for this. I mean, I don't agree with what happened after this argument, but I think Claire should have just been like, I'm sorry. Yes, I put your men in danger. Instead of just, she was so prideful about it. Like, she was just arguing back at him, like, saying that he was wrong and she had every right to wander off and she doesn't have to listen to him. It's like, no, Claire, you are not in your day and age. Kind of take a chill pill, realize that you don't understand everything, and listen to Jamie because he's just trying to protect you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes with her, she surprises me because, like, she's logical, but then sometimes doesn't believe the magical things that could happen. I'm like, listen, girl, you got sent back to the past. Like, you don't believe that there's fairies? It's possible. Anything's possible.
Oh, you're getting into episode two. You're getting into episode two.
But, like, I'm getting into
her
logic.
I know.
Her logic doesn't always work for me.
Yeah.
I'm with you on this aspect of the argument.
Yes.
But going back to episode 8 when she actually wandered off, I'm still up in the air about the fact that she couldn't have been picked off anywhere, even if she wouldn't have wandered off. But I agree with you in the argument aspect that she was really pushing it, that she should have just maybe shut her mouth. But it did lead to one of the best moments, I think, of the episode. Well, when he just breaks down.
It was an amazing. I mean, God, Katrina Balfe and Sam Heughan are such amazing actors. And, like, to be two unknowns, basically, to come in and fill these roles that are so iconic for the book lovers and fill them so perfectly, like, props to everybody involved in that casting process. And to those two as well, because they are so good. And that scene, like, nothing makes me more uncomfortable than seeing a grown man cry. And seeing Jamie cry.
Tearing his guts out,
oh,
if you will.
Yes, seriously. It was heartbreaking. And I think that's when it kind of clicked into Claire's head of, oh, my God, look what I did. Like, and I think that was a little bit of him, like her realizing, I do love, like, remembering, I love this man, like, I know why I tried to run away, because I love Frank, but I love this man too. So I think that's when this kind of whole, we're reminded about this internal struggle that she has. And the men that are within the kind of caravan, they are pissed at Claire, because obviously by her doing this, she put a lot of people in danger, really gave them some setbacks. Not a good thing. So they're all like, don't want to talk to her. And she needs to come pay for what she did. And that payment, according to Jamie, came in the form of a spanking.
The spank heard around the world.
The spank heard around the world, which was also all over social media as well. I mean, a lot of people were not okay with it. I feel like the people who love the books understand a little bit better, even though it's a very hard chapter to get through in the books, because it does make you feel very uncomfortable. And, like, Jamie Frazier is almost like this perfect man. Like, it's this guy that you just love, love, love. And then for him to think that that is morally right, because that's what he does. He thinks mm-hmm. it's morally right. What was your reaction to the spanking?
Well, for me, this is the world that he lives in.
Yes.
And unfortunately, like, I agreed with her to oppose it, but I saw where he was coming from. Like, that's just the world that it is. Like, you were supposed to punish. Like, you put the clan in danger, you're going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they punished. So it was uncomfortable, but I don't know, it was fun.
So you thought it was fun?
She's in trouble.
Well, like, they almost played it fun.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a serious, like, I'm injuring you feel to it. Although later she did act like she was hurt and sort of abused and had bruises maybe. But when it was happening, I didn't feel... like, I felt like she was threatened. Like, he was... like, I would feel like when I watch abuse.
Yeah, you know, like, it didn't
feel
like that.
When they feel like angry, hurtful abuse.
I think it was just a little bit of, like, an eye-opener, because it's, like, that was the norm back then. I think mm-hmm. that's what was so shocking about it. Because, like, that is so appalling to think of, even in, like, the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
As of today. And when I saw this episode for the first time and saw this scene for the first time, I watched the screening at the Paley Fest, and everybody was cracking up. And my boyfriend was sitting next to me, who just got into Outlander and didn't read the books, and he was so uncomfortable. And he's like, I don't understand how I'm in this giant, like, theater with a bunch of women laughing at domestic abuse. And so I can understand why it might be shocking, but I think, and again, in the book, it's a lot more shocking than I feel like it played out on screen. So I mm-hmm. think mm-hmm. the way that they dealt with that situation and the way that they edited it and played out that scene was so spot on. And if they would have done it, like,
too much more,
yeah, in one other direction, it would not have worked.
And I have said this a couple times, but I've got this vibe that when I watched the scene, I felt there was, like, this sexual tension. There was almost, like, a playfulness behind the spanking. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm spanking you, but it's sort of like you kind of like it, and I'm kind of, like, doing it. And
no, then, Claire did not like
well,
it.
I know,
Jamie,
like,
kind of liked it. Which was
then it leads to the scene at the end, which we'll talk about later on, but then there, mm-hmm. I got a similar, like, tension of sort of like
this
sexual
like power struggle pain, tension. Yeah, yeah, like I got that, and I didn't read the book, so I didn't see it coming. So yeah. I didn't have all this pre-life of like he's going to beat her.
Yeah.
You know, like it felt playful. Like I never at any point really felt like she was in danger. While she didn't like it, you know, she wasn't into it, but I never felt like he was going to like beat her to death and she was going to be in a, like crumpled in a ball in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, I just still, I don't like the idea of, like, your husband, a man who loves you,
yeah.
who is just going to hit you because all of his buddies downstairs are angry at
right.
you.
Well, then
I think that's
right.
a little messed up.
They make it right. That's It was, like,
I, well, part, yeah, style, I get, they make yeah.
it
right.
So do you think that him doing it was more him thinking he should or more to make it right with his friends?
It was absolutely more to make it right. He even said it himself. He's like, Claire, I didn't want to do this, but
how do you say it?
I didn't want to do this. I think that's what I didn't.
He kind of sounded like Ricky.
I kind of want to do this. Or I didn't want to do this. No, he says to her when he's like approaching her, like, I don't want to do this, but the men are expecting a payment for what you put them through,
mm-hmm.
and so. But then I think after he gets into it, once she starts fighting, I think Jamie's young and he's a little sexual dude, and I think he's a little bit into the 50 Shades of Grey type of stuff. So he got a little aroused by it.
Yeah. Well, I also got a little bit of a vibe that if he didn't do it, they were going to punish her in a much worse way.
Yeah,
which
really
they kind of were doing. They were kind of being
shunning
very
him.
Mean, shunning her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until she did get spanked, and then, you know, it was back to, oh, cheerio, let's have a
yeah.
drink, and ha ha ha, I'm sure your ass hurts.
Yeah, so listen, I'm not into...
You eat dinner over there, good.
Yeah, not about, like, domestic abuse, but, like, for the time period and what they were trying to prove there, and they do make it right. Like,
yeah.
He grows and learns from it because of her view of the world.
Yes, which we see a little bit later. And so, you know, this relationship with Jamie and Claire is, when they get back... Everybody's kind of celebrating the fact that they're married because they got married when they were on the road. And that marriage, even though they're kind of very pissed off at each other right now, or I don't think Jamie's pissed at Claire. I think Jamie's over it now. I think he's such a dude. But Claire's still really, really pissed. But Leary is very angry at Jamie because she's a little heartbroken because he went off and got married. And she was, I was waiting for you, Jamie Frazier. I can't mm-hmm. do a Scottish accent.
Well, we get that cold shoulder as well from Cullum when he, like, comes out and his wife congratulates him and he just sort of like, eh.
Yeah. Well, Cullum is pissed because Dougal, like, the Laird has to give the permission for the marriage and he did not give his permission.
Well, and
permission.
Now he thinks that people won't support him to actually take over.
Yeah, because he wanted, and that was kind of a cool thing to see, is that in Colum's head, he was hoping Jamie would take over as Laird and he doesn't want Dougal to take over. So yeah, and I think we'll get more into that conversation with Dougal and the Colum and the Jamie and the Ned Gowan little tiff soon. But let's talk about Leary and her boobs. Because
yes.
they were out. They were
I mean, they
all
weren't
out.
Really all out. They were out-ish.
There's so much boob.
Yeah.
So much boob.
But
I mean,
for starters, it could have been more out.
Yeah,
and, like,
they could have been
and,
more
like,
out.
And they
yeah.
really play them down, like, when she's in it, because obviously she's supposed to be, like, younger and stuff. But then it was just, like,
Chabay!
Boobs! It was a lot of boobs.
How was it?
For me. Boobs!
Well, that's probably
someone's
what Jamie
gonna make a
too.
GIF of that.
Boobs.
Oh,
this is a deep male voice.
Oh my god. And Leary tries to seduce Jamie.
She, yeah.
And
poor guy. She just like grabs his hand and like puts
boobs.
And he's like, oh
yeah, poor guy.
Oh,
God. Here's my boobs. Why don't you touch them? That's such
well,
a terrible thing.
He's trying to not, you know, betray his wife. So he's
wasn't
torn.
His fault.
But this is the
yeah.
thing. Jamie would have never been able to marry Leary, and this is. This kind of makes me a little bit mad because I don't think they explain this very well in the book, in the show, but in the books this is explained, that there is no way that anybody, like that Jamie would ever be able to marry Leary because he is not a Mackenzie, first of all, second of all, because of his past, and that he's, you know, has a fake name and stuff, but like Cullum would never let them marry and neither would Leary's father. So.
And is she aware of this in the book?
I think she's a little bit of a better idea of it, but I mean, Leary is a saucy little minx, and whether that you're in the book world or you're in the regular world. So she kind of doesn't, she's a rule breaker. She doesn't care. She's like your typical teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tell me no, I'm going to try 10 times harder to make
right.
you say yes or to just do it anyway. But yeah, so that's, I mean, I can kind of understand why they're making Leary so much of a villainous character now. They're showing that tension between her and Claire more so than they did in the book at this time. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see kind of how they continue it, you know. But, yeah, Leary, Jamie turns down Leary, and Leary's still upset. She's going to go cry. And then, yeah, now let's talk about Dougal and Colm.
And so, now we're back around to that?
And now we're back around to that, because we had to, we can't just leave her boobs alone.
Clearly Jamie can.
Yes, he can. Would you be able to leave Leary's boobs alone?
I wouldn't be able to leave Leary's boobs alone. Who would? They're crazy.
I would have maybe took my hand away a little slower than him.
Steven, would you be able to leave Leary's boobs alone?
Steven's shaking his head no.
Steven's shaking his head no. He wants the boobs. So back to Colm, who he's pissed at Dougal, and he's pissed at Jamie, and he's also pissed at Ned Gowan, who is kind of like guilty by association, but he also helped because he's like the bookkeeper. But what he's mainly pissed about is Dougal raising funds for his Jacobite rebellion, because Colm is not a Jacobite. He wants to follow the rules. He wants to keep his people safe. He doesn't want to piss off the English. But Dougal does not care. And, when Colm finds out that they have collected all this money, he thinks that they did it in a bad, like in a sneaky way. But what Dougal tries to explain to him is that no, that we did not do it in a creepy way. We did it by just showing Jamie's back, which is kind of creepy.
But they did it in a way to, like, you know, build them up and make them want to support the cause, because this is what would happen if they don't. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it was a little bit shady that he did it kind of behind people's back, but at the same time, he didn't steal from Colm. So, I mean, that's, you gotta give him the honorable fact that he's actually raising money in addition to bringing stuff home for the clan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and, you know, Colm is really, really pissed at first. And, you know, and in this argument also, we get the kind of jaw dropper when Dougal basically says, you know, I've done everything for you. Like, I protect you. I do everything. I freaking gave you an heir.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. That was a big,
the bomb,
like,
dropped when he mentioned the fact that Hamish is actually Dougal's kid.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's always been hinted at in, like, episode 2, but to now actually admit it.
Which is cool, because so in the book thus far, like they only talk about there. It's only been from Claire's point of view. So it was great that this episode was from Jamie's point of view again, because we were able to see these things that probably did happen, but Claire just didn't know about it. And so we didn't get to hear about it in the book. But yeah, no, I really, I enjoyed that whole interaction. And then I love that, you know, Jamie's kind of thrown in the mix now too. He's always, you know, try to stay quiet because he doesn't want to be a rival to Dougal. But Colm straight up, you know, calls him out. Why did you have to go and marry the Sassenach wench? I think that's what he called her. Because now I can't get anybody to support you to take over for me. Which, that was kind of a big, you know, bomb drop for me, being like, whoa, Colm, really? You were planning on this the whole time? Because that's not how Jamie felt the whole time.
I think probably after the allegiance was sworn in that episode in the first half of season 1, that maybe was a thought that came into his mind. Like, this could happen. Like, now that he's sworn fealty to me, why not?
But he also said he's a Fraser. Like, he doesn't want to be a Mackenzie. He wants to be a Fraser. He wants to go back to Lallybrook. Jamie doesn't want that, because that's going to be more trouble than it's worth. And I think Jamie knows that. And it's weird that Colm was trying to start planting these seeds, and like, I don't know. I just feel like it's strange that Colm would not have maybe had this discussion with Jamie a while ago before he sent him off and got all pissed. But then, you know, now Jamie's still kind of in between the Colm and the Dougal kind of brother rivalry. And he realizes very quickly, to keep himself safe, he needs to find a way to mend that. And thus he convinces Colm to give the money back to Dougal for the Jacobite Rebellion, and, you know, kind of just wipe his hands clean and not be involved with it, but just kind of, you go do...
You know what's going on, but just, you're staying out of it.
Yeah, stay out of it. You know what's going on, but it keeps Dougal out of your hair. It keeps him happy. It keeps everybody kind of not... You don't want to have people in your clan choosing sides between two brothers. That's the last thing you want. You all need to be one unit, and I am glad that they were able to kind of mow things over for a little bit.
And like I said, going back to what I was saying, I think that the fact that Colm realized the money was raised semi-honorably, it wasn't stolen, it wasn't, you know, he didn't do something out of the norm that he asked them for it and then gave it to him, made him realize that giving it back was an okay thing to do. I mean, maybe not the right thing to do, but he didn't fight it like he could have.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. So, do you guys want to talk about sex?
Let's talk about sex.
All the time.
I feel like there's a topic of let's talk about sex every time there's an episode of Outlander. If they don't give me sex in an episode of Outlander, it's not a successful episode of Outlander, I feel like.
Just so you know, stars, Keaton wants sex every single episode. So make that happen, because if she doesn't get it, then
that's it. Oh, no, I was at an Easter brunch. And my friends
I was at Easter brunch.
And my friend's mom saw the first episode of Outlander, the return of the season. And she was like, if I wanted to watch pornography, I would watch pornography. I was like,
when we get into episode two, I have a story about that pornography thing.
I saw that one.
But yes, it was a crazy sex scene, to say the least.
Jamie like comes up and he's apologizing.
He's apologizing to Claire. He's promising that, you know, I will never raise a hand to you again.
Baby, please.
And you know, basically, just he's starting to understand where she's coming from, because she's kind of spurned him. I loved a couple of the scenes where he's like going to get into bed and she's just like,
nope.
Oh, hell no.
Nope.
Like, basically,
who are you looking at?
Yeah.
There's a floor that you can sleep on.
Which I love that that's still kind of a, you know, the relationship between husband and wives. I don't think it's really changed too much throughout time when it comes to arguments and how those get resolved. Happy wife, happy life.
Yep.
All you guys out there should remember that. But yes, he's promising he'll never hurt her again, and obviously,
he's like, if I do it again, I swear you could stab me in the heart.
This is my favorite part.
Yes.
Straight pulled the knife, put it on his throat, and he's like, I'll cut your heart out and eat it.
While she's riding him.
Yeah.
She doesn't even stop. He's like, yes, get it, girl.
Can we get that one more time?
Rip your heart out and eat it.
You too.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, and that was I think it's the most graphic sex scene we've seen so far.
For episode 109.
For that episode,
yeah. We thought that it was the most graphic sex scene that we would see. Mm-hmm. It was very hot. It was very sexy. I wonder what it was like shooting that.
Probably just awkward and weird.
I feel like those two, they have to be at a point where... I mean, I don't know. I mean, they just have to be at a point where it just doesn't matter anymore. Like, especially, like, Katrina. I don't want to say, like, the word is not that she has no pride. She just, like, does not care. She doesn't stress about that stuff. She's just true to the character, and she's true to what the scene is calling for. And you can tell she doesn't let anything get to her or to have any, like, qualms about it, which I love, because that's how you get the real chemistry between those two. And it was hot. It was sexy. We loved it. We want more of it. And they gave us more of it.
Did they?
Because, you know, if that wasn't enough at the end of that scene, to end that episode with that kind of awesome makeup sex, then they come back in episode...
So we're moving on to 110?
We're moving on to 110, because we might as well, right? We can keep going.
We want to talk about the ill wish.
Oh, well, okay. At the end, we should
happen. She's so excited about talking about sex, she just flew right into the next thing.
I mean, I don't even care.
Yeah, ill wish.
There was an ill wish that was found underneath their bed, and Jamie... immediately says,
it's Leary.
Bah, humbug, Leary. So you know, Claire doesn't let that bother her, neither does Jamie, because we come back in 110.
Finish the job and then back to
Hate is gonna hate.
Hate is gonna hate, and by the pricking of my thumbs, Cunnilingus.
They open the show
with oral sex, which we saw. Claire obviously likes it, because Frank did that in episode one. It's so funny that it's so shocking to see that on screen compared to regular sex scenes. I just don't feel like you see that as much.
Yeah.
Well, especially with the fact that he's going down on her.
Yes.
And that seems like an odd thing as well in this time period, because it was such a male-driven, dominated world that it would always be about what the woman could do for the man and how the woman could please the man. And so it was definitely a contrast to see that.
And as, like, Murtaugh's banging on the door.
Listen, don't come a-knocking and the beds are rocking. So we weren't sure if that was Murtaugh knocking or if that was her banging the headboard.
No, it was definitely... Okay, you stop it. So I think what...
I feel like our side of the table is going to be real fun.
My gosh.
Keaton, your eyes are getting awfully red over there. Ooh, right?
They're getting a little cray over there, guys. Yeah.
Let me finish. Just let me finish. I'm done.
Are you done?
Do you need a napkin?
Here's a towel. Clean yourself. I'm sorry. Continue with Murtaugh knocking.
So Murtaugh comes in, and he lets Jaime know that the Duke of Sandringham is going to be in town. And the Duke of Sandringham is somebody who could clear Jaime's name, which would allow Jaime then to go back to Lallybroch, leave, you know, being under kind of the Mackenzies, and be his own laird and have Claire be his lady. And it's Jamie's dream. And it's so sweet when he talks about Lallybroch, because you can just see, like, he just lights up and he turns into, like, this little kid. And I'm just like, oh, I just want to hug you. You're so cute.
Of course
I want to hug him. But yes, we see that, you know, Jaime will do anything to clear his name. But as soon as Claire hears Duke of Sandringham, she's heard this before. And we get our first flashback of the second half of the season of her kind of remembering something that Frank had said in all of his research when they were in the Highlands right before she fell through the stones. And it's that the Duke of Sandringham has worked very, very closely with Black Jack Randall. And thus, probably is not the best guy to try to get to clear your name when it's Blackjack that's kind of after you.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think about kind of that scene and like the potential for Jaime to have his name cleared?
With the Duke of St. Louis, when she was actually at his house talking to him before everyone?
No, this is like when, because obviously Claire shared this information with him, like, hey, this is not...
We should be friends and, you know.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. We also saw kind of Claire, you know, being like, Jaime, don't ask me why I know this. But you got to be careful. And then Murtaugh, of course, is there, and he's like, I didn't promise you anything. You need to tell me why you know that. So what I'm saying is, with that situation.
So before she went to talk to him.
Yes, before she went to talk
to him. And we got that tension, like, before with the petition, because she was hesitant to sign it. And I'm on Team Claire with this one. I think that she, because of the stuff that she knows from falling through the stones and knows about history and what's actually going to happen in the Jacobite Revolution and how the Scots are going to fail, that she's doing everything she can to protect Jaime. And she knows that, and Murtaugh says the same thing, this is probably not the right thing to do. Your name could be cleared another time, but it might not be now.
Yeah.
You should wait.
Yeah.
So I think everyone is pushing Jaime to not do it, and he's ignoring everyone.
Well, and it's so funny how similar Jaime and Claire are, because they both try so hard, I feel like, to protect each other, but then it's like they're their own worst enemy, because they're both so stubborn. And it's like, if they have an idea in their head, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaime was going to go meet with the Duke regardless. So Claire sees it as an opportunity of, okay, I know I can't convince him not to, but I can play the cards I have and try to, you know, make sure the Duke knows what I know, so that I can control him better. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome to see kind of Claire step up in that protection role and use her knowledge to do that for Jaime, which we haven't been able to see her do in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when we see kind of her past before she fell through the stones help them in the future, or mm-hmm. in the past.
In the future, in the past. They did that a couple times this episode where they used, like, they went back and forth in time, which I really liked when they do. I like when they do that. Because
mm-hmm.
it reminds us, and I think it makes her be reminded about, you know, where she is and what's happened. Because obviously I'm talking about Gilles, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But I like when they kind of go back and forth in those scenes.
Well, what did you guys think about Claire's interaction with the Duke and how she kind of holds, you know, how she kind of threatened him?
Yeah, well, I love her interactions whenever she's dealing with these, like, high-powered men, and they just don't know how to deal with her mm-hmm. necessarily.
He's like, you're a feisty wife.
Yes. And then he, like, threatens her neck. He's like, you have a nice neck. It'd be a shame. Be ashamed to mark it? Was he gonna like burn her?
No,
choke her.
To have it, like, removed from the behead.
Oh, so cut her head.
Gonna
off,
behead.
Yeah.
Something yeah. bad.
The guillotine, guys.
Yes,
it's a big deal back then.
Yeah, that was
a, or no, that was probably a sword. I don't know. Maybe it was like a Ned
Max,
Stark way. I don't know. Who knows how they did
well,
that?
Well, Game of Thrones was yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Reel it in.
I'm sorry.
Bring it back. No, I think of
it.
All the people that could clear Jaime, Claire is the one that, like, would convince the Duke of Sandringham. I think her going in was a good thing for everything.
I mean, it does make me nervous, though, because as you said, I mean, we see that Jamie then does kind of get this thing, kind of petition written up by Ned Gowan that he needs to sign as well as Claire needs to sign to give to the Duke to bring to London. And we see that Claire is so hesitant to sign it, as you said. And, like, why do you think she was so hesitant to sign it? Just, do you think it's because she is nervous? Like, she doesn't think Jamie's name can get cleared? Or do you think there's another reason?
It's like her knowledge in the history, like, because I don't know if at this point she knows that, like, if she feels like history can change because of her interaction.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think she's ever thought about history changing or not changing because of what she's doing.
Yeah. She
kind of like,
just,
that's not even like,
not to get into kind of predictions, but I feel like she might find something out later about the Duke, like, that isn't really relevant to history, or like it'll hint at something that she'll discover that nobody else knows. But the other thing, too, and I don't think that she thinks about this, but it's something to think about, is the fact that now that she's signed this note, it's going to show up in history at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody's in 200 years, someone's going to see this signature. Like, maybe Frank might see it when he's researching her.
It's an official petition, yeah.
Yeah, he might. Actually, I wonder if maybe down the road Frank's going to actually find this letter with her signature on it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoa. Maybe. Maybe he will. Maybe we'll do a flash forward and see that.
Of Frank.
But again, she signed it Claire Frazier, not mm-hmm. Claire
but
Randall.
But she'll recognize Claire's handwriting.
I know, but
And she wrote her middle name as well.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Elizabeth? Claire Elizabeth? Sorry.
I don't remember.
She wrote her middle name. I think it's Elizabeth. Correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, then tell me. Go on our Twitter page.
They'll tell you,
Go on our YouTube.
You
go on
know
our iTunes.
Our fans will tell you.
Let us know what you think. Get us the comments, all that kind of stuff, because we like to hear from you, and I like to hear my voice, and I like to...
I like to communicate with you.
Go on. I'm sorry.
Well, so not only does Claire have kind of a backstory with the Duke, but Jamie does. The Duke has... a certain little crush on Jamie. We see when he first sees Jamie, he kind of even rubs his face, and Sam Heughan's reaction is just so priceless. He's like, "It's," but he like can't be like that disgusted because he doesn't want to like piss
like
off the
Drake him. Getting kissed by Madonna.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Drake getting kissed by Madonna. It's a perfect Although Drake said he liked it.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
I don't know. I kissed a grandma and I liked it. Apparently, Drake
all the gays
did.
Are jealous.
Anyways, moving back to the 1740s, guys. Moving back. So Jamie agrees to be the Duke's second in his kind of little
fake duel
with the McDonalds, who are actually the Mackenzies' rivals. So. That, first of all, is just, it's not smart for Jamie to deal, like, with the McDonald's in any way, because he's trying to still be at peace with the Mackenzies and not piss them off because he's a Fraser. And he doesn't want to do it. Murtaugh doesn't want him to do it. Claire goes up to the Duke and is like, "You bastard."
at the dining hall.
Yeah. But Jamie's like, nope, I'm going to get my name cleared. Woohoo! Like, I'm going to do it. And
so single-minded.
He's so single-minded.
He's like, yeah, no, this is going to happen.
This is great. We're going to go fight and it'll be awesome. Yeah.
So he goes and does this, and the Duke, it was so strange. I've never really seen a duel like this where they both on purpose miss shot.
Mm-hmm. It's the formality of actually doing it. I challenged him to a duel. He accepted. He apologized. Now we're fine. Like, it's just the fact that they actually got an apology for him not paying them.
Mm.
So it becomes a matter of honor more than anything else.
Okay.
Formality.
Hmm. Honor's really important back then. So the duel goes fine. Nobody gets hurt. Everybody's fine. Everybody's walking away.
Sort of.
Walking away, kind of. The McDonald's are getting a little feisty and a little stupid, and they didn't get their Happy Meals that day, and so they're the McDonald's.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Steven gave me a look, like, what the hell?
It means it wasn't funny.
Wow.
They are the, anyways.
Hold on. First off, they are the McDonald's.
McDonald's, sorry.
If we're gonna get, there's Mac. Not, it's not MC, it's M-A-C.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyways, then they start a brawl with Jamie.
Because he talked about their mom.
Well, they're talking crap too. They're all talking crap. It was just stupid.
What's I like too when
boys he's being crap, dumb.
Jamie and the Duke are like laughing, like, "Oh, you talked about his mom. That was so funny." Ha ha. And then they come like charging at him.
Everybody gets stabbed.
Yep.
And
but Jamie kicked ass.
Jamie did. I mean, when does Jamie not kick ass? Really?
When Claire is on top of him.
Touche.
Oh.
Touche.
Moving right along. Jamie
moving right along. Jamie's getting sewn up by Claire and then gets...
Silent treatment.
Right. But before we go into shirtless Jamie, which we... thank you, stars. Thank you for always finding a reason for Jamie to take off his shirt. We appreciate it. And I know all my fellow Outlander fans out there really appreciate it, too. So thank you. It's mm-hmm. public service announcement.
He's a PSA for stars.
Anyways, before we kind of get into what that led to, let's talk about Gaylis Duncan, who this episode, we really saw her true colors. She's a crazy, and she's a witch.
I straight up really a witch. Like her character, like, more now. Mm-hmm. I've always liked her. I always felt there's something weird about her character that, like, we don't know yet that's going to be big. But I liked her even more this week.
Yeah, I mean, I like finding out more about her, and I love that she's just like, yeah, this is what I do. I dance in Mother Nature, and look at me, I'm naked and I'm pregnant. What?
Oh, my God, like acorns.
Hey, Claire, come out the bushes.
Come out the
I
bushes.
See you.
You could have done this, too. It would have been fun.
That was such an amazing scene,
we can still dance naked in the woods.
That was a great scene, though, with the contrast of them flashing to the first time she saw the dance at the stones before she fell through, and then this scene, because mm-hmm. it was pretty much the same dance, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, the music was cool, and it was a good, like, intense scene mm-hmm. that, like, really drew you in, and just shows, like, the beauty of the show.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I love kind of seeing this tradition, these traditions, traditional kind of dances and way people worshipped back then. Like, I wonder how much research goes, I assume, knowing Ron Moore and Diana, like, that there was a lot of research that went into this, and these are fairly accurate to how kind of these types of worships.
Well, and
happened.
I mean, that becomes a whole religious debate about the combination of Christianity and paganism that became a religion, you know, the third century, but maybe didn't reach all of the area. So them still doing pagan holidays and pagan rituals that have later become Christianity in, you know, modern world, it, mm-hmm. it would be very plausible that the people isolated on this island would still do that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I think Gaylis is creepy, and but yes, she has this creepiness about her, but you want to know more. Mm-hmm. And so you like her, but then you're like, wait, there's something up. Like, she makes you uneasy, which I think is great, great acting on Lottie Verbeek is the actress's name. Mm-hmm. She's great, and she tweeted a picture hanging out in L.A., so Lottie, you should come hang out with us.
we'll dance with her.
Yeah, she was like hiking at Griffith Park or something. Anyways, we find out that she's pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, but she's pregnant with Dougal's baby.
That was a bomb drop. I was watching the show, I was like, what just happened? Are you kidding me?
Everybody's baby daddy.
That's right.
Dougal is just...
Spreading the seed.
Watering the
flowers. Grinding the corn of Miss Gaylis.
Keep going. What else you got?
I don't know. Yeah. Dougal gets the best lines. He does. Like he has the funniest lines. He's so cheeky. I love him. Anyways.
His beard's looking good, too. Like, he got his mustache, like, trimmed a little bit shorter than the goatee part. So they look good. I rock the beard. As you can see.
It's great.
I think Ryan has a crush on Dougal I have a crush on Jamie.
It's respect.
I do have a crush on Dougal. I am Team Dougal all the way.
So, anyways, we find out that, you know, Gaylis has done this dance. She's pregnant with Dougal's baby in hopes that they can maybe have a happy life together. And as Claire and Gaylis are walking kind of back from the ceremony, they hear a baby crying. And Claire wants to go find the baby, and Gaylis warns her and says, no, don't do it, because if you do it, like, if people see you, they'll think you're a witch, or it's like, she's like,
it's a fairy child,
this whole, like, thing about fairies, of how, you know, they have a sick baby, so they give it to the fairies, so then they get their baby back,
and the fairies leave a baby,
blah, 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 and Claire's like, I don't care, I'm going anyway. But we skipped over this part. The reason Claire went after Gaylis is because Leary told Claire, and we'll get to Leary because she's a saucy little minx. Ew.
That was like not like a like it was like a.
it sounded like it was in between.
No, sorry, that was an angry fist.
It was very
like
strange. That was a really weird noise.
That was a man noise.
I don't want to ever hear it again. Claire went to find Galus because Leary said that she bought the ill wish. She's like, well, I bought it from your friend, the witch, Galus, so you better be careful who you trust, girlfriend.
Can you just do that every single time you talk about Leary?
That's how Leary talks. Girl, did you slap me in my face? I love Jamie.
Jamie is my man.
Oh my god.
Nobody touched my man.
He touched my boob.
Nobody come between me and my man.
Exactly. Anyways, but Claire goes to, and I think it's important to point out, to talk about the scene when Claire does go to the baby, because she doesn't get to the baby in time. By the time she gets there, the baby is dead. And I think this is important because her interfering with this, and if she is potentially seen, this could come back to haunt her in the trial next week. So...
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
That's, yeah, like, totally this is good. Not... This was not a good situation. But it was kind of cool to see...
That scene was, like, heart-wrenching for me.
What?
I don't know, watching that scene, I felt so odd and uncomfortable. And
well, you had a brand new baby.
I have a 7-month-old child, and I was, like, thinking about my child. And I was like, this is really hard, and I just want the scene to end, and the scene needs to hurry up and end, and then...
It was very uncomfortable. But it was nice to have, like... It was cool to see Jamie then coming in and using, you know, trying to... teach Claire his, like, ways. You know, it doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what they believe, because they're the ones that are going to come after you. He's like, I don't care, like, what you think this baby is. But that doesn't matter. I'm not going to hurt you. And we need to protect ourselves from the people who were. And it was kind of a reminder, again, of remember the times you're in. Remember that these people don't think the same way as you do. And Claire, come on, think. Like, mm-hmm. Again, you talked about her, like, the way Claire thinks, and she is so logical, but then she lets herself, I think it's the emotion in her that kind of hurts her in a way. And it's weird because she's a nurse, mm-hmm. and it's
so... Instinct to help.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but, you know, a lot of times, like, the medical profession, like, you see, they kind of have to be able to, you know, take a step back to kind of be there to help, but, like, also understand life and what happens, and not let the sadness a part of their job affect it. And what? I don't know, Claire was pretty heartbroken.
And I think there's an interesting, like, almost irony, if you will, of the fact that Jamie is the one that is reminding Claire about remembering the time that you're in. Because, like, obviously he doesn't know that she came back to the Stones and isn't from that time, mm-hmm. but, like, it's interesting that he brings her back to reality that mm-hmm. way.
And this scene, this was another scene in this episode, or in the first two episodes, that it did play out exactly how it was in the book. And again, it's a very, very pivotal scene, and it's a nice moment between Claire and Jamie too, especially, you know, with her holding a child. I think that probably, you know, because that's something that Claire does want. Claire wants a child, and Claire hasn't been able to get pregnant.
There's so. Even mention about a child. The Duke says, like, oh, when you bear him a bunch of children and
yeah.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hinting.
They're hinting. Babies.
Foreshadowing.
Babies. Anyways, so we find out. So when Claire gets back, there's this big banquet for the Duke. And, oh, before even that, we find out that Dougal is going cray. Because Dougal finds out that his wife died. And Galus obviously thinks, she's like, hoo-hoo, my dance worked. I killed her. Because she apparently was stricken with fever and then died. And even though Dougal, you know, he never really saw his wife. He didn't really love his wife. He didn't even think she was Bonnie. He is guilt-ridden because she deserved better. What did you think about that scene?
Well, you know, like, given their relationship wasn't as, like, close as what we see now, like, marriages should be. It's like, there's no Jamie and Claire, right? No. But it was still his wife.
What
and, like,
is?
He, like, respects and he, you know, as much as he could in that time period.
Like, and does he respect her?
Like,
he's getting around.
It's his.
And she's just locked up in their house far away.
Yeah, but it was, like, his property or, like, a pet that died. Like, it's kind of a...
He's sad that his dog died.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh, my God, you guys. I mean, that makes sense.
You can't say you don't agree.
I know, but that's just, oh.
Well, and I'm interested in the scene where he freaks out because it makes you wonder why. Like, was it guilt that made him freak out like that? Was he actually upset? Was he mad that he thinks that Galus actually did this? There are, like, a couple of different layers to this whole scene, and we don't know. We didn't get an answer.
Maybe he just wanted to flip out. You know,
sometimes you
gotta go nuts. Sometimes you just want to smash it.
Sometimes you just have to have a good cry. You know,
yeah.
Dougal just needed a good cry. This is Dougal's version of a good cry. I don't think he knows anything about Galus's kind of witchcraftery. I think he probably just thinks it's, he's kind of just, she's like an evil temptress, and he has a veil over his eyes because he just, like, is glad he's sleeping with her, and she's carrying his baby.
But I'll ask it in a minute related to him not knowing when we get to more, related to more people dying.
Okay,
Put that in the bank for later.
So Claire has to kind of basically subdue Dougal, and there...
Drugs him with whiskey.
Drugs him, not only with whiskey, but with drugs. Galus is very happy about this, obviously, and then we go to this banquet that they're all having, and during the banquet, Arthur Duncan, surprise, surprise, keels over.
He's got gas issues.
He's got gas issues, and then he dies.
Yeah.
Okay, now my question, now that we've revealed that he's dead,
revealed.
In case you
Arthur
missed
Duncan
it.
Duncan is
if you
dead.
Haven't seen the episode, Arthur
why are
Duncan,
you watching?
Yeah, sorry, it's too late, you're spoiled. So, my question then is, because in the scene, he freaks out, maybe he doesn't know that Galus actually killed his wife, or whatever the cause was, there's guilt. If she actually was involved, maybe she did something besides the dance. But, she did kill her husband. Point blank, poisoned him. There's proof of their cyanide. Claire finds it in her room later.
Yeah.
And there's that moment where they look at each other. And then, you know, Galus stares, looking for approval. Dougal smiles under his beard. It's like a connection. And then she freaks out like he's dead. Like playing the role.
Yeah. So that's
so
kind
he
of
now hard. Knows something's up. But mm-hmm. Do you think he knew before?
Well, when I saw that smile, that's where I was thinking. I was like, did he kill him to get back at her for killing his wife?
Did Dougal kill his wife?
Yeah.
To make people think he was upset?
Yeah.
That's a great theory, but I don't think Dougal has nothing to do with his wife. I don't think he sees his wife or does anything with his wife. And I'm sure Galus probably always would tell Dougal, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I'll take care of things. I'll take care of things so we can be together. I can just imagine her kind of being in a situation with him like that. And I think that look between the two was kind of the, oh my God, everything we've dreamed about is going to happen. And then all of a sudden she had like kind of this realization, crap, I also need to be the sad widow and put back on her act.
Yeah.
So
I liked that moment though, because it just went like silent, and then they like brought her screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like,
well, and not only did I think Claire noticed what was going on, because we hear her voiceover about the grieving widow, and then we see a shot of Colm seeing Dougal smirk. And Colm is not stupid. He might not be the muscle, but he's definitely the brains of the operation. And Colm calls Dougal in immediately and sends him away because he calls Galus a witch too. And he's just like, you will never be with that witch. You will not have anything to do with her. You need to go back home. You need to deal with your stuff. And because he's pissed at Jamie,
Jamie the babysitter.
Yeah, it makes Jamie the babysitter to pay to punish Jamie for getting in a fight with the McDonald's.
Yep. And he's like, I'm gonna keep your wife here.
I'm gonna keep your wife here. You can't have her. And it's never good when Jamie and Claire get separated, because then something's good bad is gonna
sometimes
happen.
Sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Or it just means that Claire's gonna do something stupid and get herself in trouble.
Maybe Jamie's gonna do something stupid.
No, most of the time it's Claire.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because Jamie can do no wrong.
No, he can. He's perfect. Jamie. No, he's not perfect, and you guys will see. Jamie says before he leaves, we get a great makeout between them. I mean, I didn't realize people made out like that back in the day.
He's like, are you gonna kiss her or are you going to eat her?
Yeah, again, Dougal with the great one-liners. Whoever's writes for Dougal, I just love it. Love it, love it, love it. But Jamie leaves, and he just says, stay away from Galus. People are suspicious of her. It's not a good time to be around her. Just stay in the castle so you can stay safe. And our little Leary sees an opportunity. As soon as Jamie leaves, and also knows how Claire is one to fly to the rescue, per se. And
Well, hold on. We didn't talk about the first scene with them.
Oh, we should talk about that first scene. You want to go into it, Ryan? Go ahead.
I do want to go into that because, you know, after the ill wish, she goes to see Leary and they're in the kitchen and they start talking and she's like, no, uh-uh, Jamie's my man, uh-uh. And then and so slap
like,
heard around the
listen,
world.
Smack. Sweetheart.
So reach back like a pimp, smack the hoe.
What'd the five fingers say to the face? Slap. She had And it's funny because last week we had the spank heard around the world, and then like this week is the slap heard around the world.
And did she like call her child or like said something to indicate like?
I think it's so funny that like Claire, as soon as she did it, she's like, "I shouldn't have done that.
I'm sorry that I did that, but you deserved it."
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
It's like Mean Girls up in this castle,
timeless.
But
she's the fugliest.
Even though she slapped Leary. Because at first, Leary's denying that she put the ill wish there. And then as soon as she slaps him, she's like, well, I did put it there. And, you know, your friend sold it to me. And, you know, Jamie will be mine. it was very Disney villain-esque, that kind of, like, Leary exit.
And poor Jamie's like, do-do-do-do-do.
Jamie's just like, clueless. Yeah.
Everyone wants me to touch his boobs. I'm so awesome.
which we do think Jamie's name is going to get cleared, because as soon as, like, they got in this brawl, the Duke actually did take the petition and ran off with it. So
it's like, sorry, I'm not really good at this real fighting thing. I'm out.
But I'll keep my end of the bargain.
I thought he was going to steal money from it at first. I didn't know what he was doing. I was like, why is he, like, untying his coin purse?
I thought he was going to do something else, but that's just...
you can't move. Let me help you. Let me help you. You'll feel better.
Let me help you, Jamie.
Like, you wouldn't do the same.
Don't stop it.
So, anyway.
I would help. I'd be like, Jamie, take off your shirt so I can help sew you up.
Yeah, sure. The slap around the world.
Anyways.
Sets us up
Claire gets a note that says...
Come quick.
Mm-hmm. Galus.
According to this show, nobody comes quick. But Claire rushes off.
Not funny. Claire rushes off.
Funny.
She goes to see Galus. As soon as she gets into Galus's house, Galus is like, I didn't send you a note. And Claire's like, oh, crap. And so then Claire is like, you got to get out of here. They're going to be coming for you. They're after you. And Galus is like, no, I'm fine. Dougal's going to save me. And Claire's like, no,
I'm
you
not
stupid.
Running out of my house.
Oh, my gosh. And like, come on, Galus. Like, don't be like, if anybody knows these times, I feel like Galus knows. And Galus has been able to, like, figure out a way to get by being this witch for as long as she has been, because she's been protected by Arthur, but now she's not protected anymore. So come on, Galus, think. And Duncan's not there to protect you either, because you don't live at the castle just yet. We hear a bang, bang, bang on the door.
What do you mean? Dougal's not there to protect you? You said Duncan.
I said Arthur Duncan?
Yeah. Dougal is also not there to protect
That's
her.
That's what I said. Yeah, neither of them were there.
Ain't nobody. Nope.
Well, and it's interesting that I kept wanting Claire to tell her that Dougal left. Like, Dougal's gone. Sorry.
I know. Why didn't she? I was like, why aren't you telling her that Dougal left?
That's
he got sent away. Oh, that was so frustrating. Claire, what are you thinking?
Say something.
Okay. Anyways, bang, bang, bang on the door. The warden, is that?
Sure.
Sure. Some guy comes in, says you're under arrest, and because Claire is there, she is under arrest too. Damn it, Claire, why did you do it? Why did you go? And
I'm confused why they arrested her, though. Like, you know, I feel like she's just partially protected by the people in the clan, because she's like their guest, and I don't know.
No, well, I mean, this is, people were already suspicious of Claire because of what that, remember the episode where she helps save the little boy who was poisoned, priest gets, like, you know,
so,
really
like, the city folk are what she needs to stay away from.
Yes, because the castle know her. City folk don't know her very well. To them, she is just the Sassenach who is friends with a woman who not very many of them trust because she's a little eerie.
She's a witch.
And also the woman who saved this little boy. So that's why people already kind of think she's a little mysterious as well. So they, of course, they're going to take her. They take her. They take Galus. And as they are driving away, we see little Leary in the corner being like, bitch, please. like deal with that.
That was so mad. I almost was like, ah! One of those moments. I was so mad that
just
went down.
You just make noises at Leary.
I sit at home and watch TV, and I'm just like, ah! Ah!
Ooh, and your little baby is like,
mad noises.
What?
Sleeping.
See, I can't remember. Somebody else who's read the book, I can't remember if there's that moment between Claire and Leary.
Where they
see each other. I can't remember if that happened in the book or if that was just in the TV show, but I love that they included that in the TV show. It was such a great look from Leary, and I really, really enjoyed it. And now we just have to wait and see. Will Jamie get back in time to save Claire? Mm. Or will Claire have some other person be able to step up and save her? Yeah. Do you guys want to get into predictions?
Well, okay, I was making sure you hit the button for the music. I feel like there's this whole trial that's supposed to happen. So I feel like it's something's got to happen because if the trial's in the city, word is going to get back to the castle that this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are going to come. So if it's Colm or if it's somebody
else. We can get into predictions. Okay, fine. Let's just get into predictions.
Great, go ahead. Play the predictions music because I love it and I want my flashy lights too.
And now, you're after Buzz.
Flashy lights, flashy lights, flashy.
All of the lights.
I'm done.
All right. Ryan, predictions. Go.
Well, I think that, like I was saying, I think something's going to happen where it's either going to get back to the castle, so like Colm will maybe step in, or something's going to happen to save her that's not Jaime. And mm-hmm. I think it maybe will set up a new relationship for her. And I also think that Lyra's going to get it.
Yeah, I agree. That's like pretty much my same prediction, is that it's not going to be Jaime that saves her. It's going to be somebody different that she maybe hasn't really dealt with too much, or someone's going to step up for her. And Lyra better watch out. Claire going to get you.
Yep.
Till they become friends or something.
I think that Claire's going to be SOL. I don't think anybody's going to
step up. Yeah, well, because you know better.
I'm just... Yeah.
Hey, Keaton, tell me what you really think.
I think Claire's going to be SOL.
Tell me some more about Jaime shirtless.
I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Why? Your face isn't red anymore.
That's a personal thing. Anyways,
you put it out for the whole world to hear. It's so personal.
Until next week, thank you all so much for watching. Where can we find all of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mary Lou Mandel, and I'm now obsessed with Periscope, so find me on there.
Oh, snap. And as always, you can find me at RyanHooks92 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat.
And you guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Keaton Markey. Thank you so much for watching, and keep tuning in every week for our Outlander After Show.
Work to you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal. AfterBuzz TV.